Well, good morning. My name is Julie Klaus, and I have the pleasure of serving on staff here at Resurrection. Just so you know, we're taking a little break from the World Religion Sermon Series that will begin again on the 28th of January. Dodge that one. if you'll join me. Today's reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 21. Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No. We are giving you a reason to be proud of us, so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Praise be to God. Before we get going here, will you pray with me? Glorious God, as we listen to your words today, please open our hearts and our minds to what you want each one of us to hear. The message may be different for many, but we ask that we would know your will through this message. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our blessed Redeemer. Amen. So here we are, the second Sunday of 2018. The new year is underway. By a show of hands, who here has ever decided to make a New Year's resolution? Anybody? Oh, come on, some of you are lying. I gotta believe you. Well, I'm right there with you. Each year I make resolutions, although now at my age, I'm less inclined to share what they are because invariably there's a very good chance I'm going to fail. And I don't think I'm necessarily alone in that. The top 10 resolutions for 2018 are as follows. This is according to Google. Improve your fitness, eat better, quit smoking, quit drinking, learn something new, travel more, volunteer, I especially like that one, meet someone, sleep more, get out of debt. Every year we make these resolutions, and yet oftentimes we fail to even begin the process of doing these things. Many of our resolutions are things we ought to be doing, but we just can't seem to get ourselves together to accomplish these good things. Are we missing something? Are we approaching it wrong? A resolution is a declaration to ourselves or to the world that we are going to change something about ourselves that we feel needs changing. There are some things in our lives that we absolutely need to deal with. Sinful habits that we drag around, habits we know we need to be rid of. But how are we going to have any more success this year than we have in years past? Listen to Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. The problem for most of us, I think, is not necessarily the resolutions we're making, but the reasons we're making them. For us to have any chance of achieving the results that we desire in our lives, we must start by first challenging the way we think. Philippians 2:5 says, "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had." That is no easy task. For us to be successful in doing the things in our life that we really want to do, we must start by making a change in our minds. We have got to renew our minds. That means we have to empty out all the things that the world puts into our minds and replace it with the mindset of Christ. Again, daunting for me anyway. For us to begin to understand how we can make real changes in our lives, we must first understand who we are. Only by understanding who we are do we have any real chance of making these changes. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3 says, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God." All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But hang on. Verses 4 through 7 brings the good news. "But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that we have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. Because of the grace of God, he poured his mercy on us. He didn't pour out his wrath, even though we deserved it. Instead, he showed his incredible love for us. As Romans says, he loved us even though we were sinners. He sent Jesus to die for us. As a result, we are no longer spiritually dead. For those who follow Christ, we have been made alive in Christ. This is one of the most powerful concepts of our Christian faith. We have at our disposal all of the mighty things of God. Everything that we need is available to us. All we have to do is ask, right? If that's true, then why do we feel as though our lives are missing so much of what we need? We wonder, why don't I feel the power of Christ flowing through my life? The issue may have something to do with our motives. While we might be looking for the right things, we may be asking for the wrong reasons. God wants us to live lives that are rich, full, and abundant. And we have got to make sure that we aren't doing anything that may be hindering God from pouring his blessings into our lives. James 4:3 says, "And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure." God knows our heart. He knows our most secret thoughts, dreams, and desires. If the thing for which we are asking is going to be used to satisfy our own desires, God's under no obligation to give it to us. If that resolution we want to make is motivated from the wrong motives, God is under no obligation to help us fulfill it. So, to make good resolutions or good life changes, we need to start by knowing what God's will is for our lives. God's will is that we would be sanctified. Now, that is definitely one of those big churchy words. Sanctification is the process of becoming holy. And holiness is godliness. God's desire is that we would be godly. Specifically, he wants us to conform to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. We were all created to be in fellowship with God, to be like God, to have the character and attitudes of God. God's will for our lives is that we would be godlier. One of the things people like about New Year's, myself included, is that it's a chance to start over. For some reason, we can look at January 1 and separate it from the rest of our lives and try to make that new start. God has provided for each of us a new start. The key verse in our scripture reading today is verse 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord, something changes within us. Part of that change is that the old sinful self was crucified with Christ. The old self is passed away. And we also share in Christ's resurrection, so we are a new creation. Unfortunately, even as a new creation, that old self is still hanging around. We carry it around with us. It can influence the things we say and the things we do. Even Paul, one of the greatest Christians to ever walk the earth, struggled with this. Romans 7:19, Paul says, "I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway." A statement like this from such a great man of God, it actually brings me comfort. It helps me to know that the things I'm struggling with are not so unusual. Just as Jesus told his disciples that they would need to deny themselves and pick up the cross, so it is with us. We need to make that daily decision to follow Christ. to die to self and live as a new creation in Christ. As we make these life changes, we need to determine who put in the request for this change. The new creation in Christ, or that old body that we're carrying around with us? Too often, I'm afraid, it's the old self that's driving our thoughts about what we need to change and why we need to change it. Many of our resolutions are focused on our circumstances. I want a better job, better spouse, better car, better house. When indeed they should be focused on our character. A wise person said to me once, God is far more concerned with our character than our comfort. He looks at the inner person, not what's on the outside. For us to be successful in actually accomplishing these resolutions, we must get our actions into alignment with God's will. And if God is more concerned about our character, then it would do us well to concentrate our energies on changing certain behaviors. But what we tend to want to do is change behaviors that affect our circumstances. The Bible teaches that God takes care of those that are faithful to Him and that trust in Him. Many of our resolutions show a distinct lack of faith in God. God wants us to trust Him with every aspect of our lives. Often our resolutions and in general our desires in life are based on a general discontentment in our situation. We need to renew or change the way we think. For many, this is one of the key areas of change that needs to take place. Paul from a Roman prison says in Philippians chapter 4, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or with little. Paul goes on to say that it is this state of contentment that has allowed him to be able to handle all of the things that have happened in his life. The very next verse is often quoted to speak about the power of God operating in our lives. Verse 13 of chapter 4 in Philippians says, "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." We need to understand that the context of that was spoken from a place of contentment. To be content is to be happy with who you are, where you are, and what you have. That's a tough one for us. A reality of human nature is that there will never be enough to make us happy. We will never be thin enough, never have enough money, never have the perfect job. The book of Ecclesiastes confirms that. We will never be happy with what we get until we are happy with what we have. God has proven this truth to me on several occasions. It seems like when I get to a point in my life where I'm like, okay, nothing needs to change now. I can be happy here for the rest of my life. That's when change happens. It's when you're in that place of contentment. Do you want God to give you everything on your resolution list? Then stop chasing after them and be happy with your circumstances and situations. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Now, this doesn't mean that we shouldn't have these lists. God wants us to make changes in our lives, positive changes. But how can we have a list of these life changes or resolutions and have any success in achieving them? Of course, the very first thing we should do is pray and ask God to reveal to us what we need to be changing. Write it down. Make a list. Prioritize things of character, things that have to do with my circumstances. Chances are God's going to be very happy to help you with the ones that have to do with your character. We need to ask God, help us prioritize these things. If we could only accomplish one of these things, what would it be? What's the first thing God would want you to do? And then come up with a second. And we got to make a plan. So many times the reason we fail is because we don't even really have a plan. We just have this pie in the sky idea. Reminds me of the saying, if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. So we establish a plan for how to accomplish these things. And often it's during this process of planning that God will speak to our hearts. And we'll find out where our motivation and contentment are with these things, if only we listen. And don't try to do too much too fast. A list of 10 things, not a good idea. Pick two till they become a habit. And then move on to the next ones. And give yourself permission to fail. We all need to be okay with that. God has made us a new creation. He has given us the Holy Spirit to help us. God wants us to be successful at working out our salvation and exercising ourselves toward godliness. Of course, there's forces around us that are at work to fight us through this process. Our flesh, that old self we keep carrying around, that will certainly fight against us. The world is designed to distract and derail us from the path that God would put us on. Once we start working on our plan to change, we may be amazed by the things that will try to take us away from our goal. We don't always see them at first. And then there's the enemy of our souls, the devil, Satan. His tools include discouragement and deception. You know, you miss a few days and you start to feel guilty, feel like you failed, think, oh, I'm never going to make it, I'm just going to abandon this. We can't do that. God is a God of new beginnings. We need to talk to him. Tell him when you failed. He already knows. And then start again. If you miss a few days at the gym, start again. If you eat some things you didn't want to, let it go and start again. If you missed a few mornings of your devotional, start again. The Apostle Paul said something we all need to really take to heart, not just for this topic, but really for life in general. Philippians 3:13 and 14 says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us." May we all press on. Amen.